In the book of Revelation, we see the earth in great turmoil and tribulation. The inhabitants of the earth are experiencing pain and suffering and deprivation from war and famine and disease and natural disasters and supernatural forces. The purpose of Revelation chapter 12 is to identify the character who is behind all of this turmoil. He is first introduced in verse 3 as a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. The red color of the dragon symbolizes his murderous nature. The 7 heads and 10 horns symbolize the magnitude of his power. In verse 9, this monster is identified as that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole earth. So it is clear who this character is, who is in conflict with God and who has caused so much distress upon the earth. He is Satan. This is apocalyptic literature, and it is highly symbolic language, so we may not be able to understand it all, but we can figure out enough of it to understand who this being is. So this morning we want to learn from Revelation chapter 12 who this being is who is the cause of so much turmoil on the earth. First of all, this being is a creature named Satan whose origin can be traced back to the very beginning of human history. Satan is a created being. God is the only eternal, self-existent being, and He is the creator of all things, including angels. Satan originally belonged to that class of creatures of God in heaven called angels. God created the angels before He created the earth. There is a passage in Job chapter 38 where God is questioning Job about the creation of the earth. And it implies that the angels were there observing God's work of creation. God said to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." The morning stars and the sons of God there are probably angels. And they were there when God created the earth, according to that passage, as an angel. Satan is a supernatural being, not having a body, but able to inhabit a body. He has access to the heavenly and spiritual realms. He has supernatural abilities. Satan was the highest created being of God. Ezekiel chapter 28 verses 12 through 15 describes Satan as he was before he defected. "Thus says the Lord God, you were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Sardius, topaz and diamond, beryl, onyx and jasper, sapphire, emerald and carbuncle, and crafted in gold were your settings and your engravings. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were an anointed guardian cherub. I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire, you walked. All of God's angels were created in a state of holiness." But Satan did not continue that way. Ezekiel 28:15 says, "You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you." Unrighteousness was found in you. Isaiah chapter 14 verse 12 through 17 describes his fall from holiness. "How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. Those who see you will stare at you and ponder over you. Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a desert and overthrew its cities, who did not let his prisoners go home? When Satan rebelled against God, he took a great many of the angels with him. Revelation chapter 12, verse 4 says, his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, which probably refers to a third of the angels of heaven. Those angels became the demons that you read about in the New Testament. Satan and his angels became corrupt and lost their original status. When did the fall of Satan occur? Most likely, it occurred shortly after the creation in Genesis 1, and it certainly happened before Genesis chapter 3, because that is the first mention of Satan in the Bible as the serpent who deceived Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 6 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman," did God actually say, "You shall not eat of any tree in the garden"? "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." When Adam and Eve succumbed to the temptation of Satan and thereby brought sin into the human race, God promised a seed to the woman who would crush the head of Satan. Genesis 3:15 says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the first promise in the Bible of the coming of Christ, right here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. There is a prediction of enmity between the woman and Satan, his offspring and her offspring, who is ultimately Jesus Christ. The offspring of the woman in Genesis 3:15 is Jesus Christ, who would be born a few thousand years later. When Genesis 3:15 says, "You shall bruise his heel," that refers to Satan's role in the crucifixion of Christ. When it says, "He shall bruise your head," that refers to the ultimate victory of Christ over Satan. Ever since that faraway hour in the Garden of Eden, Satan's mission has been to destroy that promised seed of the woman, Jesus Christ. Secondly, this creature named Satan has a mission, and his mission is to thwart the purposes of God. The mission of Satan is depicted in Revelation chapter 12. There is a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, and she was with child. The woman in Revelation 12 represents the nation of Israel, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, out of the nation of Israel. The rest of the woman's offspring, referred to in verse 17, are the people of God, the saints, the church. If you think about it, Jesus came out of the woman Israel, and he established his church. And so the church came out of Israel. Revelation 12:4 says, "And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it." This is a reference to the birth of Christ, the promised seed of the woman. And Satan was seeking to destroy him, as he always has been from the beginning of human history. Just think about it. Satan moved Cain to slay Abel. He sowed wickedness in the earth so that the ancient world was destroyed by the flood. The human race was preserved at that time through Noah. In the same attempt to destroy the promised seed, Satan moved Pharaoh in the land of Egypt when Moses was born to destroy all the male children of Hebrew families. God, in a remarkable twist of providence, had Moses spared and raised in Pharaoh's palace. All through Israel's history, Satan tried to thwart God's purpose. In the days of Esther, Satan moved King Ahasuerus to exterminate all of the seed of the elect people of God. But a king's sleepless night spared them in the providence of God. At last, when the child was born and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to deliver, he stood before her in order to devour her child. Satan moved Herod to slay all of the babies in Bethlehem, hoping to destroy the life of that infant, the promised child. After he failed in that, he sought the destruction of Jesus when he tempted him to cast himself down from the pinnacle of the temple. The same Satan sought the destruction of the Lord when he moved the people at Nazareth to cast him off the brow of the hill on which their city was built. He sought the destruction of our Lord in the enmity of the scribes and the Pharisees, who took up stones to slay him when he walked unharmed through their midst. He sought the destruction of the promised seed in the dark hour in the Garden of Gethsemane. Finally, on a Friday afternoon at 3:00, on the day before the high day, the Sabbath day of Passover, Satan slew the Son of God, the promised seed, and saw him raised on a bloody cross in death on the hill of Calvary. What a triumph for Satan when he saw the mangled body of the Son of God wrapped in linen, embalmed in spices, and sealed in a tomb where no man could touch him. But God never changes His purpose, and Satan cannot triumph over God. God purposed for this man-child to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and God called him up to His throne in glory. That's a reference to the resurrection and ascension of Christ, where He is waiting until His enemies are made His footstool. When Satan saw the resurrection and ascension of Christ, he became angry and he began to persecute the followers of Christ. That is what Revelation chapter 12, verse 17 means. "Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." Satan is engaged in making war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus today. That is us. That is the church. Every tear that falls, every heart that is broken, every dream that is crushed, and every life that is ruined is the work of that satanic spirit. In the days of Job, in the permissive will of God, Satan destroyed Job's family, slew his children, and sent Job in despair and ruin to the ash heap. He is the ever-present enemy of God's people. His name, Satan, taken from the Hebrew, means adversary. His name, the devil, taken from the Greek, means slanderer, or one who trips up. In the 3rd chapter of Zechariah, the prophet says, I saw Joshua standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Everywhere a man of God stands, Satan is standing there to resist him. In Matthew chapter 3, Satan sought to destroy the Son of God through subtle temptations. He is the one who sows the tares and the wheat. In describing the ministry of our Lord, the book of Acts says He was anointed with power and He went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. In Luke 13, our Lord referred to a broken woman saying, "Lo, these 18 years she hath been bowed down by Satan." John said that Satan put it in the heart of Judas to betray the Lord. Acts 5 says that Satan induced Ananias and Sapphira to lie to the Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the Bible says that the devil, Satan, is a roaring lion, walking about the earth seeking whom he may devour. And this evil foe will wreak havoc upon the earth throughout history until the final days when his wrath grows more intense because the time is short. And yet Revelation chapter 12 verse 11 says the saints of God overcame him. They overcame him. How could they? That's the third point. This creature who troubles the earth, Satan, is overcome by the saints. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives, even unto death." They did not overcome the devil by military might or political strength or intelligence. They did not do it because they were men of wealth and prestige and social standing. They did it by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's how they overcame Satan. This 12th chapter of Revelation describes the conflict, the cosmic conflict between God and Satan, God's angels and Satan's demons, and God's people and Satan. In symbolic language, it describes the attacks of Satan and the protection and deliverance of God. In verse 13, the dragon persecuted the woman. And in verse 14, she is given the wings of an eagle to flee. In verse 15, the serpent poured water out of his mouth like a river to sweep the woman away in a flood. In verse 16, the earth drank up the river. For every attack of Satan, God has an answer. God provides for and protects His people, but all of them don't escape death. Some have had to give their lives for the cause of Christ. God doesn't, as the song says, carry us to the skies in flowery beds of ease. Many of God's sainted children enter the gates of glory with scars and wounds, victims of the claw and the fang of the dragon. But we have acceptance in heaven because of the sacrifice of the Son of God. His blood cleanses us from sin. There is everlasting salvation in the blood of the Lamb. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Run to Jesus and receive that everlasting salvation. Let us pray.